Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980 on a Victory Monday, I guess. Here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. Anthony is dancing. He is pumped up. He's playing the song. But Anthony, do you actually feel good?
Yeah, I feel good.
Okay. I mean, look, they played great. It's just, you know, the starting quarterback and future of the franchise didn't play past the first series.
I mean, yeah, that's a little concerning.
Yeah. Just, you know, not full on concerning, officially listed as week to week as you just heard in the press conference. And then Russell, apparently had a freak out about. He doesn't have a broken rib. I wouldn't want to have to bet my life on it, but like, he doesn't have a broken rib. Because if he had a broken rib, they would be concerned about impact. He's got something muscular because they're concerned about him actually being able to perform the movements, as Dan Quinn called them, aka throwing a football. So that's good and bad. If it was a broken rib, you could in some ways like put a flak jacket on and just go out and play. And it's a pain tolerance issue. This is a performance issue. So my guess is that we're going to see what he's got this week in practice, and they will go from there. So with that, I say we get started on first and 10 then, shall we? Let's just break down the game.
It's time to get the breakdown started. One, two, three, three. First up, 10 observations.
Stuck it and just boom, put it right on the ground.
It's first and 10.
My fancy numbers aren't working, so we're just going to get rolling with number one. Obviously, this is a game with a huge cost. Jaden Daniels not finishing this game, not playing most of this game, is terrifying in the long term because it is a reminder, and I guess what I would call the quiet part out loud, right? The quiet part of all this winning streak, the success, the everything, is it's fragile. This is the nature of the NFL. This is not something that is specific to Jaden Daniels, even if there was a lot of consternation about Jaden's durability because of his size, you know, not being the biggest, thickest guy in the world before the draft. The reality is the data doesn't really support the concerns about size when it comes to injuries. Have there been some smaller guys that have gotten banged up? For sure. But the concerns about size when it comes to quarterbacks are the ability to be dragged down easily, the inability to see through throwing windows. Like, there isn't a lot of really like, oh, it's because they get crushed and stuff. And this injury was kind of freakish in that way. He just got bent funny getting tackled. I think that there is a lesson out in the open field. Like, hey, man, like, let's keep the hits predictable. So if you have a lane to the outside, like let's stay to the outside and see if you can win a foot race. One, you're really fast and you might win a foot race. Two, in this particular case, as Jaden runs out to his right, you know the hit has to come from the left. There's a way you can protect yourself on that. So injuries happen in football, and that's the reality that until they get a better roster with depth, like there are injuries away at multiple spots from things not going as well. And obviously things still went really well yesterday for reasons that we will discuss. But the number one thing coming out of this game is what happens with Jaden. Now, I will say, after hearing Dan Quinn, I have a pretty, like, I've been around football and I've been around this staff enough this year that they're pretty honest on stuff. And there's a way they word things that I think are pretty straightforward. And then I have the medical enough background with my training, whatever, to kind of understand some of the things that are in play here and some of the things you can rule out. Like, he doesn't have a broken rib. You know how I know that? Because Dan Quinn said that it wasn't a contact situation. Like, they're not worried about him getting hit again. They're worried about whether he can throw and run and be an athlete. So if that's the case, that tells you it's something muscular. It's something where there's a strain or a pull, and whether it's a cartilage or one of the little muscles in there, because you got a whole bunch of stuff that's holding your core in place, like oblique, whatever it is. They're calling it ribs, so I'm guessing it's the cartilage situation. Like, that stuff hurts. It's really uncomfortable, and it does impact your ability to create torque, which is kind of important to throw a football, or if you need to be slithery and slide and move like that. Those sudden little twitchy movements can anger that thing. So we'll see. I think that the other hint here is Dan Quinn said it's going to come down to my eyes in practice. It's not him getting clearance from a medical team. It's Dan watching Jaden play and going, this looks like Jaden. We can play him, or this doesn't look like Jaden. He's going to not be able to help us as much as we want, and thus it's not worth the risk of putting him back out there where he makes it worse. So, of course, there'll be medical people involved. I would guess a guy like Adam Peters is involved, too. He's got to have the long-term vision, and that's kind of his job, where Dan's is more day-to-day, even though I think they both look at the others and try to weigh the factors the best they can. But ultimately, like, that's what we're talking about here, is some kind of rib injury, muscle, cartilage, etc., that when Jaden can perform and the risk of re-injury is low, he'll play. Until then, you know, we're obviously in doubt of the Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams showdown that we were hoping for on Sunday. Number two, I just want to talk about real quick in terms of his management moving forward, which is, it shouldn't change one bit. I understand the freak out of, he can't run, he's going to get hurt. Oh my God, no way. It's the design runs aren't what's going to get him hurt. And certainly something that's freakish like this. Yes, inherently, you're going to then take probably more hits than if you stood in the pocket. The biggest hits quarterbacks take are in the pocket. He has been tremendous at avoiding hits. He got hit in a funny way and got bent. This could have happened to a wide receiver. It could have happened to any ball carrier. It could have happened to a defensive back on a pick. It could have happened on a scramble that was not a design run, as Dan Quinn pointed out. This was a kind of a fluky thing. It happened to come on a play that started a design run. And by the way, that play was 46 yards and ultimately was the drive starter on a touchdown drive. So if you want to have the maximal offense around Jaden Daniels, he has to run. It helps everybody else, and there's not a way around it. And unless you want to undercut one of the big reasons why he's been great, this is part of the deal. And that is, he is exposed to everything else that every ball carrier is, which most carries, most catches, most everything end up in all 22 guys getting up off the field. And that's just the reality of the situation. So I understand the consternation. I'm not saying that the feelings that you're feeling of concern are not coming from a place where you just want to see your guy healthy. What I'm telling you is, the solution isn't to take out the running game. That's not going to help anybody. It hurts the offense. And that's kind of the Jaden Daniels piece of it. Number three, last thing on the offense real quick, and then we'll get to a bunch of defense stuff, as well as a couple other news and notes in the back half of our first and 10. But number three, the offense deserves a ton of credit because they continue to pour it on and absolutely cook with Marcus Mariota at quarterback. Little bit of a rough start. He has a keeper, and then Cornelius Lucas loses big time quickly on a pass play, and they wind up in a third and long after a penalty. And then Cliff calls a perfect play. Deami's wide open, and Marcus just misses him. And then Marcus comes back out, misses a couple other throws, and they got back into the run game. He got a couple carries, and all of a sudden he found a rhythm to an extent, and he absolutely cooked from then on out. He was fantastic from middle of the second quarter all the way through, basically when they stopped trying on offense. And a lot of that has to do with, this is a very well designed, very well called, very well executed offense, and the O-line deserves credit, and the receivers deserve credit, and Marcus deserves credit, and Cliff, and Anthony Lynn, and Tavita Pritchard, and Bobby Johnson, and I don't want to leave anybody else out, so I'm going to stop. David Rye, here, there you go. Go Rye, the tight ends coach. Give them all credit. Also, the Panthers are terrible, and I cannot stress enough how much of an impact that had in this game, which is not meant to say that the Commanders actually performed secretly terribly. They took the tests that they were presented with, and they scored maybe not an A-plus because they did have a couple of field goals, and there's some red zone stuff that obviously if you get an A-plus, you score all of them touchdowns as opposed to stalling out in the red zone a couple times. But they for sure as you know what got an A. But the Panthers were not very good to begin with, and they have a bunch of injuries. And of their front seven, they're starting like day one, week one, front seven projected group. One dude played in this game. So you're talking about one of the worst teams in football that is super talent deficient, and you got the backups on that team playing against your offense. Again, Commanders did exactly what they were supposed to do. They went up and put up a 40 piece. But all the times that things didn't go perfectly to plan, that Marcus wasn't in a rhythm, he could kind of just stand there or shift around a little bit in the pocket. Oh, we got 4 seconds to throw. Sweet. Oh, there. Now someone's open. Oh, no one's open. Let's run around a little bit and let's scramble. Pass rush completely non-existent. Again, their front seven super banged up. So you run for 200 yards on them. Like, that is a bad. It's beyond a bad football team. They are bad and they are banged up. And something weird is happening in the NFL this year where the bad teams are extra bad. The guys who do DVOA, Aaron Schatz is the main guy behind it. And according to their metrics, they have never had this many teams that are this bad by their metric in terms of we're 30% worse than the league average. They've got like 5 or 6 teams that are that bad. It is brutal. And I don't know exactly what's causing it. I don't know exactly what it is. It's something that I actually kind of want to explore on the show this week to see if we can figure it out. But teams like Cleveland, teams like Carolina, you know, they're just horrendously bad football teams. And the Commanders, to their credit, have beaten the crap out of them to the point that they have the league's best point differential. That is a credit to Washington. But it is not like, oh, this offense is just fine without Jaden. Marcus can run it. No, the Bears' defense is good. It is a very different challenge. And the precision and the decision-making, the creative ability, and all the stuff that Jaden provides is going to be much, 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 much more needed than it was against a Carolina team that is essentially, if you took Marcus Mariota and the rest of the Commanders' ones against most teams' threes and fours in the preseason and said, go play 60 minutes of NFL football. That's what happened yesterday, and the scoreline was certainly reflective of that. When we get back, something that even accentuated that, and when the game was in the balance, for about 2 seconds of when the game was in the balance, one big man who made a big difference. That's next in the back half of our first and 10 on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Hoffman's show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Michael Phillips, as usual, on a Monday. Your calls next at 4:30 and 301-230-0980 on a Tell the Truth Monday. But it is time to continue with our pick six. We talked about Jaden Daniels and how bad the Carolina Panthers were to get things started. Let's keep it rolling with our final six. Sorry, seven. Math, never my strong suit. But if there's 10 things from the game, we did three. That would mean there's seven left, starting with
number four.
The game flow in this game is something that I talked about a lot last week. Logan and I did on Take Command as well. And ta-da, don't we look like a bunch of geniuses? And yeah, the Panthers were really bad, but they also, there's a version of Carolina that's can compete, especially offensively. And that version of them runs the football. Dandy Dalton gets some matchups here and there, and he can deal a little bit. That version never had a shot once the opening drive happened, because they actually had that version for the first part of the opening drive. And then Andy Dalton threw a pick six, and then things went downhill. Why? Because Carolina abandoned the run. They tried to chase the game, and they had no shot. And I told you that if this thing gets the wrong way for Carolina score-wise and they have to chase it, it could get really, really ugly. And sure enough, 40-7 later, sometimes your boys know what they're talking about. And although I feel like sometimes we can talk about that game flow stuff and how it can magnify strengths and weaknesses, you know, and it feels like it's almost too obvious. This is an example of why it can be so, so important.
Number five.
Number five. One of the guys that changed the game. Fedarian Mathis is really large, really strong, and really hard to move. And that dude came in the second series of the game after Johnny Newton had gotten moved a little bit. They obviously have the end-around play as well. That's the big, you know, mover for the Panthers on the first drive. But on that second drive, Johnny Newton starts next to Daron Payne. And they tried to run the football again, and it was like, nope, nowhere to go. And in the first drive, double team, big movement on Newton. And Johnny's still figuring things out at this level. Like, he's a rookie. That's going to happen. He has some really special moments that you see the flashes and you're like, man, this guy's going to be really good when he figures out the basic stuff. Big Phil's just like, I am not moving. And so they try to move him on a double team, and Daron Payne has an enormous amount of space to go make a tackle at the line of scrimmage. Linebackers have more room to flow. And so I did kind of wonder about this last week, sometimes aloud on the show, of, well, Newton is the obvious next man up in the rotation. Is it actually smarter to play Big Phil on first and second down, especially against teams that want to run the football, because of how hard he is to move in the run game? And I think that theory showed some credence with how well he played. And like Sheldon Day, same thing. He's a big, big dude. And they're not going to give you a ton of the pass rush. You know, if a team's running a bunch to the outside, they might not give you as much mobility to chase plays down. But they're also going to hold up the blockers from getting out there. It makes your linebackers and safeties getting downhill better. And I think you saw that in this game, in the very small amount of time that there was actually a run game to be dealt with for Carolina.
Number six.
Number six. Obviously, Dante Feller had an unbelievable day. I think most people probably also realized Daron Payne had a really good day. The thing I want to point out is how well they played together. Those guys have now started to figure out how to hit some of the timing and some of the angles and some of the nuances on these stunts and twists. And that's going to lead to a lot more of, I don't want to say days like yesterday. I mean, Dante Fowler's been playing for like 12 years. That was his first career interception. So I'm not going to say, hey, they're going to figure out how to pick six a whole bunch. But I do think both of them making plays behind the line of scrimmage is going to happen more consistently moving forward. Yeah, I mean, Carolina's O-line is actually not that bad. But they figured out ways to just absolutely destroy it. And the way they played off each other, the tenacity with which both of them are playing, their speeds are matched up, and yes, each of them individually did really good stuff, but often it was the other one on that left side of the defensive line that were, you know, responsible for the play. So if, like, you know, Payne makes a play, go watch what Fowler did. It was something really good. If Fowler makes a play, go watch what Payne did. It was something really good. And it freed that guy up to be the playmaker that both of them are.
Number seven.
Just a round of applause. Emmanuel Forbes, good to see you. And I think the obvious is, hey, got a pick. Love that. Dalton threw it right freaking to him. I mean, Forbes played that very, very well. The receiver played that horrendously. But he did play it really well. He's playing quarters coverage. You know, he could have got caught way outside, but he realizes there's no one. He's playing on the defensive left. There's no one to my left. All that's over there is a sideline. So instead of just going and, you know, standing in the middle of my Madden bubble, if you will, I'm gonna go actually follow this receiver inside, and I'm gonna latch on because that's my job. That's what you're coached to do. And he gets right inside. You know, Dalton thinks, oh, I got this easy because the safety that's typically in that quarter of the field has played a little bit deeper, has been pulled back. And instead of a window, there's Emmanuel Forbes. So that, good work, Emmanuel. That's how you play zone. Very well done. But I think the other thing that was interesting and worth following, a note, if you will, for moving forward, is he was also out there on special teams. He was out there, I believe, on punt return, you know, as a blocker and as a gunner on the side. And that means he can stay up as opposed to being the inactive guy. So that, you know, as the injuries and different formations and different personnel packages are being used moving forward, even if he's not an every down starter, like, let's have that guy available because he's big and he's tall and he's rangy and all the things that made him a first round pick. And maybe he can develop some confidence and earn his way back on the field. But the fact that he was out there on special teams, I think, is a good sign. Obviously, that means he's willing to do it. He's not, like, obstinate about it. But in practice, obviously, they saw enough to say, hey, Emmanuel, you're up this week. Let's go get him.
Number eight.
Speaking of special teams, damn, these dudes hit. Dan Quinn is literally like, if you play safety for me on this team, you're going to be on kick coverage, and I want you to just pretend it's a running play. And that's basically how they cover kicks. And it is a race between Derek Forrest, Jeremy Reeves, Jeremy Chin, like Quan. They're all out there. And it is free for all to the ball. And they arrive, and they arrive with bad intentions. And Nick Ballore's like, I want to race too. Jeremy McNichols is like, I want to race too. Those dudes hit. And not only is that going well on special teams for Larry Izzo and company, but Austin Eckler's having an unbelievable year as a returner. Like, you know, obviously Carolina doesn't kick off in the first half because they didn't score. And they come out, kick off the second half. Eckler returns it to like the 40-yard line. What? That's just like how he rolls. I don't know why you kicked him right now. And so from offense, defense, and special teams, A's across the board in this game for sure. And the last piece of special teams, by the way.
Number nine.
How about just another perfect day for Austin Seibert? It wasn't pretty all the time. Couple of extra points that were, one in particular that was very squirrely. You're like, that ball looked like it hit the ground and then bounced up and through the uprights. Like that was a weird, odd duck. So clearly, you know, there's some stuff hidden deep in the demons of Austin Seibert's right foot that still occasionally try to pop out, but he hasn't missed from under 40. He's barely missed at all in his career in Washington. He has the one block kick. And to think about how much consternation there was for good reason in training camp. And we just kind of said, hey, eventually they'll find someone that's going to get cut by another team. They had a guy in mind. They went and got him. It worked out. Bang, bang. And good for Austin Seibert to continue to be perfect. Last but not least, back to the Panthers real
Number
quick.
Number 10.
Can they please just free Bryce Young? I don't necessarily disagree with, like, what Matt Ryan said at halftime, where he said, I wouldn't play him in this game, talking about Carolina Washington. I wouldn't put him in, even though you're up or down 27-0, because I want him to get the week of practice. But Dave Canales said again today, we got a plan. You know, we're not changing from that plan. Ian Eagle was talking about the broadcast. Oh, you know, they say they've got a plan. They just don't want to tell anybody what it is. Canales today was asked again about trading Bryce Young, and he's like, well, some things might change because they initially said no. If Bryce Young isn't ready to come in a game and get valuable experience, to just play some reps where it's not going to make him worse, when you're down 27-0 and the game could not have any less pressure on it, then you need to trade him to someone who believes in him. This dude was, I don't want to say the consensus number one pick, but over C.J. Stroud, most people liked him. And I'll admit, like, I didn't study these quarterbacks nearly as obviously closely as I did this year's crop, because Washington wasn't in the market for one last year based off their draft position. But they, like, I liked Bryce Young a lot. And what he did at Alabama was pretty big time. He's really smart. And there's just no way that he should be this unplayable. And if he is, it's reflective of the organization as much as it is the player. So trade him to another organization. There is someone out there right now who would give you a decent pick for the guy who was 1-1 overall last year. This wasn't 3 years ago. It's not like, hey, rookie contract, we only got him for a couple. You got him for two more years after this, before the fifth-year option, if you wanted to try him out for size in the offseason. But just bring him in now. And so, I don't know what team, you know, if I was Miami, I would have tried a couple weeks ago. Now Tua's coming back. But if Bryce Young can't get in this game, like Carolina, free Bryce Young. Not saying you made a mistake in not putting him in, but if he's not ready to come in this one, you got to trade him somewhere else so they can get him ready to be in a game eventually, because this is nonsense. Anyway, aren't you glad that Washington got their quarterback right? Probably. Probably feel a little better if he was healthy, eh? 301-230-0980. It's Tell the Truth Monday. Your thoughts on the 40-7 Washington win. 301-230-0980. Tell the Truth Monday next for the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. And always live on the free Odyssey app. It's the Hoffman Show on a very busy Monday on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Right now, it is Tell the Truth Monday time. Anthony, you got the formal introduction for the people at home.
It's a great question, Craig.
I always forget that we have it until right about now.
I forgot, too.
But we do have a formal introduction. I will say, while Anthony looks for said formal introduction, that coming up at 5 o'clock, Michael Phillips, who needs no introduction, will join us. But right now...
It's Tell the Truth Monday on the Hoffman Show.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
Call us now at 301-230-0980 to tell the truth about the Commanders.
You can't handle the truth!
Or hit the comment section at the Team 980 on YouTube.
All right, that's how it goes. And let's get things started with Darius in Oxon Hill. Darius, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, what's up, Craig?
What's up, Darius?
Yes, I just want to tell the truth, you know, just mainly about, you know, the whole day in general. It was very refreshing to see just a well-run, we looked like a well-run, competent organization yesterday. You know, we took care of business. We handled business at home. We beat a team that we were supposed to beat. Also, you know, with Daryl Green's jersey retirement, just the day in general, you could tell is exactly what a well-run organization is supposed to do on the day of their a great player's retirement. And it just feels good to kind of see that come to fruition, even with an injury, a little hiccup in the beginning of the game. It didn't, you know, the wheels didn't fall off because of that. You know, backup quarterback came in, handled business, and we did everything we were supposed to do yesterday. And yeah, I just want to tell the truth. It just felt good to be a fan yesterday and see that from our organization.
Darius, appreciate the call. Thanks. I think that's a great summation of kind of how everything went down yesterday. Like, this is a team and an organization. Or Darius did go with the Canadian pronunciation there. Organization. Team and an organization who really understands what it means to be a professional. And that goes from the jersey retirement ceremony and everything they did for Daryl Green to how they handled themselves with Jaden, how they, you know, the players handled themselves once Jaden went out, to how Jaden handled himself, you know, coming back out on the sideline, smile, wave, okay, cool. Like, it's just, it seems like a well-oiled machine. And that's not to say there aren't going to be bumps in the road. There's not going to get stuff that gets caught in the cogs that you're going to have to clean out every once in a while. That is a great place to be to feel as a fan like, hey, we're gonna figure it out. And even if they don't figure it out immediately and there's a loss or a hiccup or a bump in the road, like, they'll figure it out eventually. And I think they've proven that time and time again. Let's go to Scott in Crofton. Scott, what's your truth after yesterday's game?
Well, listen, the one thing that I wanted to discuss was Jaden Daniels' inability to go out of bounds and not take the serious hit. I mean, it seems like he just takes on the serious hit, and I love the guy, and I think he's a great talent. But, man, he doesn't do us a whole lot of good being on the bench or being on IR if he's going to take a serious hit. He needs to step out of bounds or throw the ball away or something. He needs to do something so he doesn't take the serious hit. What do you think?
I think that is, like, there's some truth to what you're saying, but it is largely an overreaction based off of what happened. Because the reality is, like, there's no throwing it away. He's 45 yards down the field in the open field. And I would have liked to see him veer towards the outside there, both as a runner, because I think he had a better chance of taking it to the house. And two, he also then is probably a little more protected from hits. But it was just a weird way that he got tackled. And, like, that kind of stuff can happen. It can happen in the pocket. It can happen. Like, honestly, the biggest hits probably come in the pocket. You get bent over sometimes in the pocket. And so I think that this is football. Like, dudes get hurt. And I don't say that callously or flippantly, because these are human beings. I don't want them to get hurt, but this is the reality of the sport that they play and the sport that we all love to watch and talk about.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't mean on that one play. Yeah, that one play, you couldn't throw the ball away. I kind of misspoke on that, but I just was hoping that he would just go out of bounds and save himself.
Yeah, no, Scott, and I hear you, because at the end of the day, thanks for the call. It's coming from a place of, like, hey, we want this guy out there. We want him to be well. We want him to be healthy. And there's been, you know, a couple times maybe this season where he could have taken less of a hit or less hits. But he's also gotten up time and time again. And this is how he was at Alabama, too. The biggest hit that he took at Alabama was from Dallas Turner in the pocket. Knocked him out. Had a concussion. Like, it was bad. He also had the game of his life the next week. The Florida game was the week after Dallas Turner knocked him out of the Alabama game. And if you don't know about Jaden Daniels in the Florida game, buddy, go to YouTube right now and watch those highlights, because, oh my God, one of the greatest games a college quarterback has literally ever played. So his toughness, his tenacity, like, I have full faith he'll bounce back. My question is, in the meantime, like, what happens here? And he could pull a rib throwing a ball. Like, it just happened to happen on a hit where he got torqued a little bit. Let's go to Charles. Charles, what truth do you see from the Commanders' 40-7 win over the Carolina Panthers yesterday?
I was terrified when he went out. Just seeing the huge drop-off with Mariota. Even with some of the completions, it seemed like he was slow in getting them the ball. And, you know, it just speaks to how fast Jaden processes information. But hopefully he's good and he can throw and everything. But, yeah, I'm really nervous about having Mariota.
Charles, thanks for the call. I appreciate you being willing to say that part out loud, because Marcus's numbers yesterday are fantastic. And Marcus is a competitor. And, by the way, Marcus is a mentor. They mentioned this on the broadcast, so I'm just going to name drop because this was the reality of my weekend. I had coffee with Ian on Saturday morning, Ian Eagle from CBS. I've known Ian a long time, as I think a lot of you that have been longtime listeners of me know. Like, Ian's another Syracuse guy. We went to the same school. I've known his son Noah for a long time, and Ian, I'm very lucky to have someone who's a mentor. So we were catching up on Saturday morning, and we were kind of just exchanging notes, and he's like, man, the praise that they had for Marcus, and the praise specifically that Jaden had for Marcus, was like, impactful enough that it was something that Ian mentioned. And obviously, we don't know that he's going to spend the next day calling most of a game where Marcus Mariota is actually playing, and that information is going to very much come out because of that. And you know, we've also heard that a lot, but the fact that Ian coming in for the game for the week, kind of parachuting in, goes like, you know, comes out of the meetings, the production stuff that he has on Friday, like, man, Marcus Mariota is doing an incredible job as a mentor. So Marcus and the job that he was mostly brought here to do, like, is doing an unbelievable job as a mentor. But as a player, they're not the same. And the good plays that Marcus has look very reminiscent of the good ones that Jaden has, because it's the same offense and they do have on some level some similar skill sets, but they're just running the same plays. Like, a quarterback on time looks like a quarterback on time. But the difference in yesterday's game, this is why I said what I said in first and 10, is the bad plays that you would typically have against a more NFL caliber defense, certainly a good NFL defense like you're going to see against Chicago, literally do not happen yesterday against Carolina, because Carolina's defense is that just incapable of doing anything. They had that little bit of teeth. No pass rush, all that stuff. Couldn't stop the run. So you just don't wind up in bad situations. And so what happens next week? Hopefully with a week of practice, you get a better version of Marcus, not necessarily from a production standpoint, but from a process standpoint, because that's going to lead to better outcomes against a Bears defense that in, I believe it is 12 of the last 13 games, has given up 21 points or less. 301-230-0980. We will take more of your calls on Tell the Truth Monday next. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. I was just going through the comments there. Lots of spirited discussion about Jaden and the injury that might keep him out Sunday. We don't know. And I actually just got a text from one of my buddies in Chicago who does radio there. And he's like, what are the chances Jaden plays? And I was like, 50-50. We don't know yet. It's early in the week. The good news is the imaging is good enough. There's no broken ribs, you know, whatever the imaging says in terms of pulls, strains, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's going to come down to when he steps on the practice field on Wednesday, can he throw the football? And can he run? And can he keep himself safe from a movement standpoint? If he can do all that, he's going to play. If he can't, then they're going to sit him for a week. And then we'll see how he's doing next Wednesday and go from there. So it is a TBD. We don't know yet, but doesn't mean we can't talk about the game or how we feel about what happens if he does miss time, especially after seeing Marcus Mariota play and put up great numbers, albeit sometimes in a bit of a squirrely process yesterday. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. Let's go to Mike in Wheaton. Mike, thanks for calling. You're on the Hoffman Show.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good, Mike.
Hey, you know, I'm loving Jaden. He's a smart football player. He knows the game. He's got the offense down as much as they've put in. But I think he's risky stupid. And what I mean by that is, this is the NFL. This ain't high school or college. You know, there's 1,500 professionals in this league. They're the best of the best of the best this year. And when he's in a situation like he was on that 50-yard run, and he's fiddling with somebody to his left, he's got to say in his head, there are other players that are chasing me. And they're gonna pounce on me, because nobody quits in the NFL. They don't just let you run 50 yards or more. You know, you're always gonna have somebody in pursuit. You know, he took two pops last week, and that was unnecessary. He needs to go, and he doesn't realize how valuable he is to the team and to this city. Okay, because I'm honestly sick of quarterback controversies. This morning, the junkies were trying to dredge up Mariota and saying it's not Daniels. It's the system that's real good. And I'm sick of going all the way back to Sonny and Billy when this quarterback controversy crap started, and then it was Doug Williams and Jay Schrader. I'm sick of it. And I want him to realize that we want him for 10, 12, 15 years and to be our quarterback, like a Marino or a Montana or Drew Brees or whatever. We want him to be here, and he's got to understand his value, you know, and not only to that team, but to this freaking city, because we're sick. We've had 55 quarterbacks since Sonny Jurgensen. Freaking 55 freaking quarterbacks. That's crazy. Sometimes we've had three in one season. That's stupid. And he's got to realize, I get what I get and I slide, or I get what I get and I run out of bounds. Because we don't want no, I don't want to hear when he goes into a slump, and he's going to go into a slump, and then all of a sudden you hear the Washington Post sports page or the fans start chanting Mariota. Because that's what DQ did.
All right, Mike,
year.
I've let you go on for quite a while here. Because you got
One more point.
Make it quick, Mike.
DQ, okay, DQ did this. In the beginning, he got rid of Howe. That was genius. Because you had howlers that were fans. If Jaden got into a slump, those fans in the stands would start chanting.
Yes, you're correct, but also no one's doing that for Marcus Mariota. Mike, you made a lot of great points. That's why I let you go, because I think there were a lot of interesting things being said there, but we get the point. And we got now full phone line, so I want to try to get some other calls in. I just want to respond to a couple of things real quick. One, calling, you know, risky, stupid, like whatever label you want to use, whatever. I do think Jaden does need to realize his value to the team. And I think by and large, he probably does realize the value to his team. I think instead of thinking that the guy doesn't get it, I think perhaps sometimes we should give a little bit more credence to athletes who are making split second decisions in very real time at speeds that are incredibly difficult to understand. We are normalized by watching it on television. And frankly, we're even normalized by watching it in the stands. Unless you have been on an NFL sideline or in an NFL game, it is damn near impossible to realize how quickly you have to make decisions in this league. And so I also point out that that was the first time that Jaden's really truly been in the open field like that in the NFL. You don't get to be in the open field. He's had some big, you know, spaces, but a lot of those are scrambles, whatever, where he's kind of being directed out of bounds. There are no cutback lanes possible. But to be at the third level, to have run past the safety and then be like, okay, now I got to make decisions. That is a different deal that he's never had to do before. And I would hope that he learns, for both efficacy and safety, that just go to the outside. And if you get run out of bounds, you get run out of bounds. But he is making a decision as a competitor in real time, and I do not want to take away his competitiveness out of fear for something that, yes, obviously can happen, but can happen in a million other ways. You can't injury-proof football, and eventually you have to let the kid play, and he's largely been available. And so, and I'm not just talking about now, like at Arizona State, LSU, it's not like he's missing seven games a year. So he's tough, he's durable. He got bent funny. He does need to learn, absolutely, that there are guys that can catch him at this level, even though he runs away from a lot of them, and he ran away from everybody in the SEC, which is supposed to be the fastest league in the world, non-NFL caliber. And that's going to be a learning lesson for him. But I also don't want to overreact. And I thought Mike's perspective was great in terms of what he means to the city and the franchise, but I don't think Jaden doesn't know that. It doesn't mean, though, that every time he breaks the pocket and needs to think about, there have been 55 guys since Sonny. Oh, no, I can't possibly let it get to number 56. He's got to go play football. And hopefully he'll continue to play football smarter over the course of his career. Tell you what, we never do this. Anthony, can you text Phillips and ask if he can do 515? We have a ton of phone calls, and I would like to take them. So either Michael's not going to be able to move, And we'll get back to the phones at 5:15, and we're just going to do one segment instead of two with Michael. So a little bit shorter with Phillips, even though I'm sure he's got great stuff. There's only so much to say about the game itself, but I want to keep taking calls. So we're mostly going to do that over the next half hour on the Hoffman Show. So if you're on hold, don't go anywhere. 301-230-0980. There's also three lines open if you want to get in here on the Hoffman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.